Sport on the Clare Byrne Show with Visa, official payment partner of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Everything's a tap in with now, Visa.
Let's look ahead to all of the weekend sporting action. I'm joined by Off the Ball's Owen Sheehan. Hello, Owen. How are you?
Very well, Claire. What's happening?
We're going to start with the GAA, the All-Ireland Football Quarterfinals. What a weekend we have.
Yeah.
Kerry Tyrone first. Will we start with that one?
Yeah, it feels like a mirror image of this time last year, or at least the semi-finals last year, because Kerry versus Tyrone played each other in the middle of a heat wave as well, even though I think it's going to break tomorrow, isn't it? So it might actually be
a
wet evening in Croke Park. So Kerry Tyrone, the narrative kind of writes itself. There is the great rivalry of the 2000s. Tyrone people will say it was no rivalry at all because they won all three of those games. There was the COVID game of 2021 when a game was postponed by a number of weeks before Tyrone got the better of Kerry in that All-Ireland semi-final. And a lot of those players, particularly from the Kerry side of things, are still around and still playing. And I'd say that's a game that still rankles and still motivates Kerry, as we saw last year when they had that 6-point win against Tyrone in the semi-final. But it's worth underlining that margin of victory last year, because I think when people remember Kerry's All-Ireland last year, they remember them hammering Armagh, hammering Tyrone and hammering Donegal on the way to an All-Ireland win. I'm not quite sure I would describe the Tyrone game as a hammering. It felt comfortable at times, but still it was only a 6-point victory, which in new money...
Only a 6-point victory. The rest of us would take that.
well, and absolutely Kerry did take that. A win against Tyrone is massive for them at any stage of the year. Have Tyrone improved much since then? Have they got close enough to Kerry to be able to knock them off? I'm not quite sure they have. I think there's been a few issues in terms of their personnel. For example, Darragh Canavan's not named in the 26 for tomorrow, and that's just a massive setback. They have a number of young players that have come through over the past couple of years. Owen McElhone is a really exciting forward who's looking like, you know, he's to the manor born at this stage. But have they got a number of games under their belt, a number of big games under their belt where they've played big teams in Croke Park and won them? I'd still have my doubts. This might just be a season too soon for Tyrone before they win the All-Ireland. But the pressure is firmly on Kerry, even though they were the ones that had to go through the quote-unquote backdoor by playing Armagh last week and Tyrone had the feet up. Kerry's still in a commanding position.
I know, you guys do this thing. It's like, you know, waves and waves of attack. It's just sustained, isn't it?
It looked like it last week, and certainly Kerry's defence was the foundation on those waves that you referenced there, that Armagh almost played into the Kerry trap, that Kerry defence sort of swarmed the Armagh attacker from time to time and then straight away kick pass up to the forwards, and it was lightning quick. And in the Killarney sun, it's pretty irresistible stuff. The same thing tends to happen when Kerry are on form in Croke Park. They love this place. They'll be very, very excited for this tomorrow evening at 6:15. Will Tyrone play into Kerry's hands like Armagh did? I'd have my doubts. But even if the game gets slow and turgid and it comes to this hand passing around the perimeter, I still think Kerry have enough in terms of their 2-point shooters to put a bit of a gap between themselves and Tyrone.
So before that, then at 4:00, we have Cork and Mayo in Croke Park.
This is fascinating. You've got Kerry Tyrone, you've got Dublin Galway, which are the headline fixtures, it feels. But the other half of the draw is just as exciting because it's very, very hard to call both of these games. Now, Cork, they too will have the memories of going down to Killarney this year and playing really poorly. And I thought they got unfairly criticised for the level of their performance that day. There was some suggestion maybe that they sort of phoned it in, that they didn't really, you know, try a leg at that game at all against Kerry at certain stages in the second half, which I think kind of misses the point about how good Kerry actually were in that Munster final. So I think Cork deserve credit. Now, all of that gets put to one side when they go and they beat Donegal, especially away from home. That was an extraordinary result. And they've now earned the week off where they play Mayo this weekend. Mayo are building. I don't know who's under more pressure this weekend. I think Mayo at the start of the year, if you told them you'll get to a quarter final, I think Andy Morner would have said, okay, fine. We haven't been there since 2023. That's good.
We'll take it, yeah.
Cork, quarter final at the start of the year. Fine. Good outcome. So there's just a massive upshot for one of these two teams who wins this weekend. And these chances don't come along too often. Maybe this will be the best chance both of these counties have to make an All-Ireland semi-final. There's likely to be a draw on Sunday night. There's a world where Cork versus Mayo, the winner of that game, ends up playing the winner of Louth versus Monaghan. And one of those four teams is going to be playing in an All-Ireland final.
Incredible.
It is exciting, isn't it? And that's why I think there's a real amount of pressure on this fixture. Sure, two underdogs in the grand scheme of things for the All-Ireland. But there is an All-Ireland final place here, up for grabs. And that's what makes these two games so fascinating. For Louth versus Monaghan, I guess the big thing is that Rory Beggan is named to start for Monaghan. There were some doubts around him during the week. He is, of course, Monaghan's most important player. At this stage last year, I thought he was brilliant in the first half against Donegal in that All-Ireland quarter-final. He is a cheat code in the new rules. So it's good to see that he's fit. And that certainly makes that more of a coin toss, because I would have favoured Louth big time if there was no Beggan.
The Mayo star that you've mentioned a few times on the programme, Kobe McDonald, is first time to play in Croke Park?
Yes.
Big deal for him.
Massive deal. And I think maybe from a neutral standpoint, it was good to see Mayo get through round three last week and for them to get to Croke Park, because we're not going to see Kobe McDonald next year playing for Mayo. So this is his one and only run through the quarterfinals when it comes to playing for Mayo. So, I mean, it's not exactly a hot take to suggest that he seems like the type of guy who'll step up to the occasion this weekend. Mm-hmm. Nothing seems to faze him. I think Croke Park would be a brilliant stage for him. So we got to enjoy the 70 minutes that we get from him this weekend, and there might be more.
And he is years ahead of him as well. Do you want to talk about Galway Dublin? Yeah. I mean, it's another tricky one to call, but take us through what you think might happen.
Well, I think the theme this week has been that Dublin, after playing extra time last week in such a big game against Donegal and getting up for that, will struggle to get up to the same level for this Galway game, either energy-wise or motivation-wise. I'm not quite sure that tells the full story, though, because Galway over the last couple of years have been enigmatic in that they will run any sort of team close. And that can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. If they play Kerry in the morning, they'll probably run them to within a couple of points. If they played Leitrim in the morning, you wouldn't be surprised if Leitrim ran Galway to a couple of points. Galway play down to their opposition or play up to their opposition, whoever it is. So I suspect this is going to be a live contest come 5:30 on Sunday afternoon. Now, will Dublin have the energy to see it out? I'm not quite sure. Again, you look at the team sheets. Conor Callaghan is named to start for Dublin. Hopefully that materialises. Whether you love Dublin or hate Dublin, I think it's good for the game to see Conor Callaghan out there. You want to see the best players out there. Galway, thankfully, have got most of their best players back onto the pitch this year. The trio of Sean Kelly, Shane Walsh and Damien Comer. It's been rare over the past couple of years that they've all been fit and available. They are now. Comer's going to start on the bench and he's been brilliant as an impact sub all season long. Their only injury concern at the moment is Matthew Thompson, who was on a kind of not a J1, but he was studying abroad over the course of this year. He picked up an injury while out in the United States. He's back, but he's not going to be available this weekend. Just another note before that game. Galway aren't going to be using the number 10 jersey this weekend. That's going to be as a mark of respect to Paul Clancy, who very sadly passed away this week.
Nice touch. Okay, there won't be a cow milked on Saturday or Sunday, and there'll be plenty of sofas being worn out because those Croke Park matches are back to back, aren't they, on the 2 days. Now, the World Cup, we were just saying when you were coming in there during the break that it's only now really that it's getting interesting, that we can start looking at what might happen. I mean, it's been happening sort of in the background for a lot of people, but now we're getting to the business end, aren't we?
Yeah, I think there were just infinite permutations, certainly after round two, that there was a vagueness to what we were actually looking at in some of these final round matches. There was no vagueness last night when you're watching Ecuador against Germany. I doubt there were very many cows milked in Ecuador last night. I'm not sure what the dairy situation is in that country.
Coincidentally, I follow a TV journalist from Ecuador, and he put a live stream on last night or early this morning. I thought, oh God, he must be, you know, covering something really interesting. And it was him completely hammered with his family, all of these flags and scarves. And does someone need to tell Jorge that he's live on Instagram here? But it was brilliant to see it.
This was the first real proper show of emotion that was just totally unbridled in this World Cup. Like, we've had great moments, in fairness, like what Curaçao have done, what Cabo Verde have done has been fantastic. But just to win a game in the 77th minute, Gonzalo Plata just nips to the ball ahead of Manuel Neuer in the German goal. And it's just one of those classic World Cup moments where qualification is secured. Their manager is fascinating, Sebastian Becchecchi. He's an Argentinian fella. He just brims with passion. These North American stadiums, for NFL purposes, the front row tends to be raised, whatever, 7 to 10 feet off the ground. So he was like rock climbing up the front row to try and meet his wife, I presume it was, when they scored that winner. And afterwards, he was saying, I urge all of Ecuador to be united, like Simon Bolivar once dreamed of. So he's trying to evoke the liberation of South America from the Spanish Empire in his post-match comments. So Ecuador, it's only their second time making the knockout stages of the World Cup, and we'll see who they come up against. And we'll see is still the phrase du jour. We do have four fixtures confirmed in the next round, though. We've got South Africa against Canada on Sunday, Brazil against Japan on Monday night, 6 o'clock. That's good for Irish viewers. Netherlands against Morocco on Tuesday. And then the United States are going to be up against Bosnia and Herzegovina on Thursday. The other thing to keep an eye out for tonight is Cape Verde and Pico Lopez. If they beat Saudi Arabia tonight, they will progress. But looking at the third place table, a draw might just get them over the line as well. So still plenty of permutations there. Not looking good for Scotland on that front. But yeah, Cape Verde against Saudi Arabia, 1 a.m. tomorrow morning tonight. And then also Norway against France tonight at 8 p.m.
24-hour sport. Thanks so much, Owen. Owen Shane there from Off the Ball.